The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Jesus and his disciples were among thousands of pilgrims who traveled up to Jerusalem that spring. They would celebrate the Passover, which commemorated God's great love for the Hebrew people. The past several weeks had not been easy on Jesus or his friends. The people loved Jesus more than ever, and the demands on him and his followers were overwhelming. For as much as the people loved Jesus, the leadership in Jerusalem did not. Jesus' popularity scared them, and they decided it was time to put him to death. Now, Jesus recognized that he and his disciples were about to undergo their greatest time of trial yet. So he took them aside to share a quiet meal, away from the busyness and the demands of their work. As they sat down, he began to teach, washing their feet, predicting his betrayal, and giving them a new commandment to love one another as he had loved them. Like us, the disciples must have had many fine ideas about love. Peter might have told you that love is selfless. Thomas might have told you that love is courageous. Judas might have told you that love is committed. But by the end of the week, all of Jesus' disciples would face the complicated reality of love. Jesus knew them better than they even knew themselves, and he knew what was in each of their hearts. Once, Judas had cared for Jesus enough to work long weeks and odd hours as Jesus' financial manager. But Judas would fall out of belonging with him and betray him to the disgruntled leaders in Jerusalem. Thomas cared for Jesus enough to go up to Jerusalem with him, even though he predicted his own death. But Thomas's heart would melt with fear in the garden, and he would go into hiding. Peter cared enough for Jesus to follow him through the gate into the high priest's courtyard during his trial. But selflessness would give way to self-preservation, and Peter would deny knowing Jesus three times. Jesus embraced his own destruction on the cross out of love for his friends, and he commanded his disciples to do the same. However, none of them would be able to keep his commandment when love became complicated. Most of us have lived long enough to know that love is complicated. For better or for worse, Those who raise us are the first to teach us about love. The way we speak to others, the way that we interact with them, that we resolve conflicts with them, the way that we relate to the people we love, all of that has a profound impact on the way that we behave in our relationships later in life. Some of us have had more positive role models than others. However, even the most positive role models find that love is complicated. In love, respectful words can mingle with harsh words. Caring actions can get twisted into who owes who, and apologies can be dominated by excuses. And the you that I care for can become all about me and my needs. Love is complicated. Yet, for some reason, we're surprised when love's complexities surface in our congregations. We tend to oversimplify love when we talk about loving others like Jesus. To many people, loving like Jesus is about being a nice person. I've heard confirmation students say that they love like Jesus when they hold a door for someone or smile at a stranger. I've heard adult Christians say that they love like Jesus when they're supporting charities and not judging other people. I've heard whole congregations say that they love like Jesus when they allow a leader or a staff member to remain in a position of influence after they have been found guilty of misconduct. All of these examples are superficial. And the last one is just plain irresponsible. I can hold a door for someone or smile at a stranger without truly caring about them. I can give to the less fortunate or not judge someone without being invested in their well-being. Niceness doesn't lead to intimacy, and shallowness does not lead to transformation. Jesus embraced his own damnation on the cross out of love for us. But like his disciples, we stop short of the cross in our love for one another. Love is complicated, and Jesus' commandment is no exception. Caring for those closest to us is hard enough without worrying about those outside of our inner circle. But Jesus' command is not intended to be a burden, and it's not intended to be superficial. Jesus gives us this command, intending for us to share in his joy and to make our joy complete. While love is complicated, there is also no greater joy in life than to love and to be loved. Jesus teaches, saying that no one has greater love than this, to lay one's life down for one's friends. Jesus laid his life down for Judas, even though Judas's love for him soured as they got to know each other better. Jesus laid his life down for Thomas, even though Thomas's love for Jesus retreated before a moonlight mob in the garden. Jesus laid his life down for Peter, even though Peter's love for him was stifled by fear in the high priest's house. Jesus' love is the kind of love that you can't escape, the kind that seeks you out when you are lost, the kind that makes the ultimate sacrifice so you can live. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how unlovable or how undeserving you think you are, Jesus laid down his life for you. Earlier in John's Gospel, we're told that God loved the world so much that God gave God's only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but may have eternal life. This means that Jesus not only laid down his life for you, he also laid down his life for me. And not just for me, but for everyone, from the most powerful ruler to the child who was born this very hour. God regards the life of each and every sinner as more precious than the life of God's beloved Son, who kept the commandments perfectly. God regards each and every person we meet as more precious than the life of God's only Son. Jesus' death revolutionizes our relationships because it teaches us to see other people as God sees them. Everything that we have learned about love from those who raised us must be relearned in light of Jesus' death. Whether family or stranger, friend or enemy, we cannot see anyone that we meet apart from the cross of Christ. This way of seeing the world has become the way of life for those of us who are baptized. For in baptism, Jesus chose us to see the world through God's loving eyes. And he appointed us to care for the world as God's beloved. Communities like ours are training grounds for love. We don't practice the kind of love that we learned from those who raised us. We practice the kind of love that Jesus commanded. The kind that honors Jesus' death for the world. Here, we live under the cross in a very visible way. Here, we see the reality of Jesus' death for the world more clearly than we can anywhere else. If we cannot see each other through God's eyes, how can we expect to see the world as God sees it? Jesus taught us to abide in his love, keeping his commandments, which we do through baptism. We abide in Jesus' love for us, and we abide in Jesus' love for the world. Love is complicated, and Jesus' commandment to love does not depend on you or on me. It depends only on Jesus, who radically changes the way that we see one another. How could we possibly go back to old ways of living once we have seen the world through God's eyes? This week, I challenge you to live into your baptism by seeing each and every person that you meet as God sees them. You might pick up your Bible if you haven't in a while, or you might pray for someone while holding on to a cross. Whatever you do, make a point of remembering that the members of your family, the bagger at the grocery store, your boss, or even that jerk who just cut you off in traffic, are living under the cross of Christ. He laid his life down for them in greatest love. And we must show them the respect and the care that deserves. You and I have been chosen by Christ to abide in his love. And we have been chosen to bear fruit in the world that will last.